We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And He's given us.
Here, one more thing with you this morning. We believe in the crucifixion. I'm going to begin a new sermon series simply called Freedom. If you didn't quite get the idea this morning, as we begin to sing and worship God, we sort of weaved it right into our worship this morning to sort of get the point across. We're going to talk about freedom. How many of you know what freedom is? Some of you say, hey, you don't know. I know. I know what freedom's all about. If you have your Bibles today, our scripture that we're going to be looking at and studying from is the book of John. We're going to start with chapter 8. This will be about a 3-4, maybe a 5-part series. We're going to talk about the journey. We're all on a life journey. We spent the last several weeks looking back on some of the heroes of the Old Testament. We look back at their life, and the purpose of that was to set the stage, to set the foundation for where we're going next. Because we had to be able to see what God has done in other people. It's a great testimony. We had to see how that God was able to use men and women, despite their humanity. He didn't hide their humanity from us. He's not going to hide your humanity. And if you're trying to hide it yourself, then you better stop. You better open up and be transparent before the Lord. And we watched how God used those men and those women to complete a purpose, to begin and to finish things in the world. Today we're going to take it to a personal level. We're going to start today because I want us to look at what freedom is all about. What does it mean to be free? As human beings, we are very complex people. And you probably say, well, Pastor, what about this? Hey, listen, I believe that, you know, if I'm held bondage or captive, I believe that, you know, you can pray for me and I can be set free like that. Absolutely, I believe in miracles. The next series after this, and we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the moving of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural. Because things happen in our life, in the physical, there's always something going on in the spiritual. That was a great place to say amen. I do believe that God can do miracles. I believe that He can change us in the blinking of an eye. But what happens when that moment is over? What happens next? What happens when we get back out into the world? And this corrupt world that we live in and begin to walk in the world, what happens when the enemy begins to come back at us again? Freedom and walking in freedom is a process. It's a process that we have to walk through each and every day. So we're going to take a moment now. We're going to look at what Jesus Christ says. But I want us to examine ourselves, to look at our lives. I want us to see where we're being held captive. I want us to see how can we be set free. How can we walk in the freedom of Christ? So if you got your Bibles, open up to John chapter 8, verse 31. And we're going to begin there. Let me just sort of give you a little bit of history of what's going on at this moment. And this is why this is so important for us today to understand this. It says Jesus, He's looking into the eyes of a certain group of people. He's teaching. And He's begun to focus in on a certain group of people. We've talked about them a lot. He's focused in. He's looking into the eyes of the religious leaders. When you see the word religious leaders in the New Testament, right? The priests, religious leaders, those are the ones who were in charge of the church, if you want to put it in today's words. So really what He was doing was He was looking into the eyes of church people. How many of us are church people? All of us, right? We're here in church. We attend church. We call ourselves a churchgoer. I'm a Christian. And this is who Jesus is talking to. And He's having a conversation with them, and He's talking about this subject. He's talking about freedom. He's talking about living free from the bondages of sin. Now, I want to tell you, I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I love you. But I'm not ashamed to stand up here and talk about sin. Okay? Life Church is a place we talk about sin. Because what happens is when sin gets into our life, it holds us bondage. It chokes us out. And if we don't stand up and proclaim the truth of God's Word, we're going to be held accountable. We will talk about sin, not for the sake of making you feel bad about yourself. Because let me tell you, I've walked in sin. There are weeks when I wake up and begin my week and I begin to feel with these anxiety and I feel with the enemy coming against me. And it's so easy to walk in sin. Because it's all around us. The world is a corrupt place. The world is a place where the enemy dwells. We know this because he was cast down to this earth, and this is his dwelling place. This is where the devil lives. This is his domain. Because God says that we are what? We are aliens in this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So I'm not ashamed to talk about sin. And I'm as equally not ashamed to talk about redemption. I'm not ashamed to talk about the salvation of Jesus Christ in our life. I'm not ashamed to talk about the path that we have to take to walk in the path that Jesus wants us to walk in. So in other words, what I'm saying to you, church, is I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that it would begin to penetrate your heart and penetrate my heart. So this is what Jesus says. He says to the Jews who believed in him. These are those religious people he's talking about. He said, if you abide in me, abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. And what? Say it. The truth will set you free. Now listen to this response. I love the response of church people. Listen to what they say. They answered him and says, we are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. Really? While they were having that conversation and saying that statement, guess who's walking around them? Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers were walking around while they're making this statement. Here they are saying this. They said, we are offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How quickly they forgot their history. For so many years, right, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, had lived their life and fallen into slavery. All the way back to Moses. They're in slavery. They fall into slavery. They fall into corruption. They fall into sin. They're taken captive. Then Jesus, God, comes in. He delivers them. Right? Then they walk a little bit more, they get back into the world again, they fall back into pagan worship, and they go back into slavery again. Time and time and time again, the nation of Israel has fallen into slavery and been delivered. Fallen into slavery and been delivered. Been in bondage and been delivered. Remember that. That's important for later on. So yes, here's what I call that. I call that an attitude of denial. Let me make a bold statement this morning. I'm probably going to make a lot of them in this introduction to this series. So bear with me. I'll ask you a little bit later to tell me that you love me. But church people are the hardest people to convince that they need freedom. Let me say that again. Let me take a drink of water so it's very clear. Church people are the hardest to convince that they need freedom. Why? Church people are respectable. We dress up a little bit better now that we're coming to church. We know how to talk the church lingo, the talk church language. We know how to look like church members. We're the hardest people to convince that we need freedom. And this is who Jesus is talking to. Jesus is talking to you and he's talking to me today. We forget sometimes the bondages that once held us before we knew Jesus. Let me tell you what I walk in every week, and I want to encourage you to walk the same way. My prayer to God is even in these times of sorrow, is Lord, don't stop amazing me. Don't stop being an amazing God. Don't stop answering prayers in an amazing way. I don't want to forget what it was like when I got saved. I don't want to forget what it was like at that moment when Jesus Christ came into my heart and cleansed me and took out all that garbage, all that sin nature. He took it out and filled himself up. But here's what we have to do. If we forget about it, we'll continue to walk down the road. And guess what? We allow the world to come back in. What you put in is going to come out. Remember an old Carmen song? Garbage in, garbage out. You put Jesus in, you're going to get Jesus out. Let's continue on. How is this that you say you will become free? Jesus answers them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. How often do we proclaim those scriptures? All the time. That's part of our Christian language. That's part of our church-going lingo. See, Jesus is directly talking to them. He's saying this to these religious leaders, to these churchgoers. He says, you need freedom. You need to be set free from the corruption of the world. So my question is, what is freedom? If you got a way to write this down, write this down. This is what freedom is. Freedom is the ability to live our lives following Jesus, fully empowered by the Holy Spirit, free from the control of sin and the control of bondage. Notice what I did not say in that statement. I did not say that we would be perfect. I did not say that we would not sin. I said that we would be free from the control of sin, fully empowered to follow Jesus, fully empowered by the Holy Spirit, allowing the Word of God to be strong in our lives. And in order for the Word of God to be strong in our lives, we have to do what? We've got to put the Word of God in. And if there's something else in there that's keeping and taking up the space, if there's something else in our lives that's filling all that void that we can't put the Word of God in, you got to get it out. Well, Pastor, that's a whole lot easier said than done. I mean, how do you do that? Hang around for the next 6 weeks. We're going to see what God's Word tells us because He makes it very clear. Another question this morning, how many of us want to change the world? How many of us want to fulfill the great commission that was given to the disciples? How many of us want to change the world? That's a question you can answer. Go ahead and answer it. How many of you want to change the world? Me, Pastor. So I'm not here today to make us feel bad about sin and bondage. I'm here to give hope. I want us to look at God's Word and see how we can find hope. See, Jesus didn't come to die on this earth simply to control our behavior. Jesus came to this earth to die for us so that we could live in real liberty, so that we could live in real freedom. Now I know that for us, that the greatest pain that any of us can ever have. I know, I understand. It's that spiritual torment that the enemy puts upon us because he condemns us. But Jesus Christ has come to set us free. Well, hey, there's many ways to be set free, right? We know that there's many ways the world has out there about freedom. There's counseling, modern psychology. I know Jonathan's taken psychology and he's sharing different things with him. I know that Maria and I have the opportunity to provide counseling. Well, before I say that, let me ask this question. Look, we're all held free. We're all held bondage to some kind of sin in our life. We're all held bondage to something. Something's got a control of our life. How many of you really want to be set free? I mean, come on. How many of you really want to be set free? All right, just want to make sure that I'm heading in the right direction this morning. So I know that there's counseling. I believe in counseling. I believe in modern counseling and modern psychology. And in modern counseling, the idea is if I can change the way I think, it'll change the way I feel, which in turn will begin to change my behavior. That's what modern psychology says. That's what counseling is all about. When we do pastoral counseling, we do marriage counseling, we do deliverance counseling. When we do that, that's the idea behind. But modern psychology and modern counseling, and if you're a counselor here today, thank you. If you're one who counsels and helps people get through situations, amen. Keep doing it. Keep pressing forward. Keep making a difference in the lives of people. But counseling without God in it will always fall short. If you can take that idea of changing the way that you think and changing the way you feel and changing your behavior by allowing the Word of God to do that, that's real freedom. That's being set free. And that's what God is telling us here. I like to say it this way. Remember before I said that Israel was like this. See, Israel, they were in bondage and they were delivered. They were in bondage and they were delivered. And since we have two mothers to be, we have many of you who have a lot of little ones running around, I thought this would be a great analogy, so bear with me. So I call this, if you just want to change your thoughts, to change the way you feel with the hopes of changing the way you act, then this is what I call the principle of the diaper. The principle of the diaper. Well, Pastor, I don't see that in the Bible. It's not there. Not in those words anyway. But I remember when my boys were little, they grew up a little bit, they started walking, they started talking, they started wanting things, but they still weren't free from that diaper, okay? One moment they'd have a clean diaper and they'd be running around, hey, daddy, daddy, happy, happy, happy. The next moment, uh-oh, they got a dirty diaper. And most of the time when they had a dirty diaper, they were walking like this. Hey, daddy, go see your mama. Go see your mama. I don't know what's going on right now. Go see mom. She's gifted in this area. It was on her spiritual giftings profile. Go see her. Clean diaper, dirty diaper. Clean diaper, dirty diaper. With the hopes of what? What are the hopes of the toddler? As parents, what's the hopes that we want to have happen to our toddlers who in the diapers? To be what? Potty trained, right? So when a toddler's potty trained, what happens? You throw a party, right? You throw a party, you get balloons, you invite people over, you get a big cake, and you celebrate. Hallelujah, potty training has come. No more diapers. You actually start saving more money, Matt, Missy. You go buy a package of newborn baby diapers. How many is in the package? It's like 50, right? You get like 50 diapers. You go buy for a two-year-old, how many diapers is in that pack? Like 8. I can see them right now. Yeah, we want the church to help us buy some diapers. Well, we'll help you. What happens is potty training happens. So the principle of the diaper is how often and how long are we as Christians going to live in the mentality where, because this is what's going to happen. If we don't go through the process of being potty trained, we begin to understand that little bit of a dirty diaper. Next thing you know, it becomes normal to us. And next thing you know, we learn to live with a dirty diaper. We learn to run around in life with a dirty diaper on. What happens with a dirty diaper? It stinks. And that's not what Jesus wants for our life. He wants us to be set free from that control and set free from that bondage. But at some point, we've got to get tired of the dirty diaper. At some point, we've got to decide no more. It's time to wear big boy pants, big girl pants. Galatians 5:1 says this: "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit against the yoke of slavery." You know, you don't have to live with a clean diaper, dirty diaper mentality. You don't have to live a life where you have one good day and then you have a bad day. Jesus Christ says, "I want you to have a good day every day." He wants us to overcome pornography. He wants us to overcome lustfulness. Because when you live in that life of clean diaper, dirty diaper, you're saying this: "Hey, I'm having a good day, clean diaper. I've overcome pornography. I've overcome lust. I didn't submit to the drugs in my life. I didn't yell at my wife. I was honest and spoke with integrity. The next day, not so much. Dirty diaper day. I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. Said some things I shouldn't have. But that's okay, because tomorrow I'm going to have a good day." And this is a terrible cycle to live in, especially as Christians. But there's good news. There's hope. There's freedom. And there's two principles of freedom that I think would help us to get that. And I want us to grab a hold of that today, because today's the beginning. Today is where we say this is where it begins, because freedom is a process. It is a journey. It was a journey to get where we are in life. It's a journey to continue forward. It's a process. Freedom begins with a new focus. It begins with a new focus. You know, if we focus on our sin and hope it goes away, it's never going to happen. If you're focusing on your sin today, if you're focusing on your bondage, if you're hoping somehow it'll just go away, if you're hoping by my own willpower, because of my own internal strength, because I have the ability somehow to will this away and to just turn it off because I'm stronger than sin, you're wrong. We are not stronger than the adversary. If we were, we would not need Jesus Christ. If we were stronger than the adversary, we would not need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We would not need the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. We would not need the name of Jesus in our life. Jesus knew that the enemy is he's the ruler of this world. And it's by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by the name of Jesus. It's by what He's done in our life. It's by us learning and taking our focus off of our sin and putting our focus on who? Putting our focus on Jesus. That's how we make it through. That's where freedom starts. I can hear what you're saying to me. I hear it now. If I could just stop what I'm doing, I'd be free. Hey, if I could just pray a little more, attend church a little more regularly, maybe come a little earlier, help out with the kids. If I could do some more good things, somehow I could overcome this. But we can't on our own. And that's why I thank God He gave me a spiritual father. Because He was able to come and speak into my life. He was able to come at those moments when Shannon was trying to do it on his own. And when I tried to make things happen, He would come alongside and would say, "Hey, son, come here. You can't do it by yourself. Just commit it to Jesus. Matter of fact, I'm going to walk with you. Let me help you walk down this journey." If you're focused only on the pain of your sin, if you focus only on the pain that's in your life, guess what's going to govern your life? If you focus on pain, pain is going to govern your life. If you focus on your sin, sin is going to govern your life. If you focus on the corruption of the world is going to govern your life. But if you focus on Jesus Christ, Jesus, He will govern your life. If you focus on His Word will govern your life. Matthew 6:33 says this, and this is why I believe this so heartily. It says this, "But seek first, seek first, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God." And it says what? "And all these things." Not some, not part, not this area of my life or that area of my life. Don't touch this area of my life. "Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you." That's where deliverance happens. That's where freedom begins. So by focusing not on my sin, but on the kingdom of the living God, Paul, he says this so very clear. In Romans chapter 7, we see him begin to share, and here's Paul as he's going through this whole process. Because before Paul, he was who? He was Saul. Let me tell you who Saul was. A murderer. A tormentor. A criminal. And he did it all under what? The name of what? Religion. But Romans 7 says this. It says, "For I know nothing good dwells in me. That is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I, but it's the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I do what is right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." This is where the shift happens. This is where he makes this change in his mind and his heart. He says, "But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man am I." Wretched man am I. Paul, writer a third of the New Testament, the greatest apostle of all time, a church planter like the world has never seen a church planter before. He says, "Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Paul got it. Galatians chapter 5, he says this too. He says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit." See, he was struggling with that walk. He was struggling with the sin in his life. And he says, "I know I can't overcome it. But thanks be to God, because He will help me walk through it. Because if I put God into my life, it's coming out." And then he says here in Galatians, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. See the opposition? He says, for these are opposed to each other to keep from doing the things that I want to do. He understands it. Worshippers are on a journey of freedom. We need to turn our hearts toward God. The enemy wants us to focus on our sin. God wants us to focus on His Holy Spirit, on His mercy, on His love. The second thing, as we bring it to a close, is this. Freedom begins with a new identity. John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. That was at the end of the first verse that we read. But here's the question. Truth about what? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth about what? What's true? Here's what it is. It's truth about myself and truth about God. If you want to know the truth of God, you'd read His Word. If you want to know the truth about yourself, look deep inside. I'm not talking about self-esteem. Self-esteem is how we perceive others see us and portray ourselves. Identity is exactly who we are. Identity is the true heart. What we do in our own time, what we do when we're alone, what we do in the quiet, what we do at that moment, that's who we are. We can't hide from God. Pastor, you sound pretty tough on me right now. I am. You know why? Because I'm being tough on myself. Freedom begins with a new focus. Stop focusing on your sin and focus upon God. It starts with a new identity. The truth about who God is. We know who God is. The creator of everything. The giver of every breath. The one who sent His Son to die on the cross. The one who loves us when we don't deserve it. Jesus Christ loves us when we don't deserve it. Do you understand that? Do we understand the fact that He loves us even in our sin? He loves us at the dirtiest moments of our life. Can we just grab a hold of that? Because we couldn't love each other that way. It'd be hard for me to love you that way. It'd be hard for me to love you when I know that you're against me. But Jesus died upon that cross, and the ones who were nailing Him to that cross, He said this, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, and I love them this much, and He gave His life. Freedom is not what we've been set free from. Church, freedom is what we've been set free to become. There's hope. Man, there's hope in that. Well, Pastor, what have I been set free to become? In a moment, we're going to receive communion. We're going to remember. We're going to remember Jesus Christ and what He did. And that love that He so unselfishly gave. But let me tell you, church, today, as I bring this to a close, if you want to know who you are, if you want to know what your identity is, let me tell you. Here's the question. Who am I, Lord? Who am I? I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I am assured all things work together for good. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am confident that God will perfect the work He began in me. I am a citizen of heaven. I am hidden with Christ in God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I have been born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I am blessed in the heavenly realms and the spiritual blessing. I am a chosen before the creation of the world. I am holy and blameless. I am adopted as a child. I have redemption. I have forgiven. I have a purpose. I have hope. I am sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. I am salt and I am light of the earth. I am a personal witness for Jesus Christ. I am God's co-worker. I'm alive in Christ. I'm God's workmanship. I've been brought near to God through Christ's blood. I'm a holy temple. I'm a dwelling for the Holy Spirit. God's power works through me. I can be strong. I can be victorious. I am set free. I am crucified with Christ. I am the light of the world. I am more than a conqueror. I am the righteousness of God. I am part of God's kingdom. I am healed from sin. I am no longer condemned. I am not helpless. I am an overcomer. I am preserving. I am protected. I am born again. I am a new creation. I am victorious. I can approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's who I am. That's who you are. Let's not focus on our sin. Let's focus on who Christ has made us to be. You want to be set free from your sin? You want to be set free from the bondage of the world? You stop focusing on your sin. You stop focusing on the corruption of the world. You start focusing on Jesus Christ. You start focusing on His mercy and for His grace and His love for you that is greater than any love that you have ever seen or ever will see. And when you begin to remove all those things that are holding back and keeping that from penetrating your heart, God's going to fill you up. And you're going to begin the journey of freedom. You're going to begin to walk down that journey and that road of freedom that God has given to you and He wants you to walk in. But let me give you a warning. You have to do it. You have to take the first step. If you don't take the first step, the journey will never begin.